Investigators.
So many reasons for this team to come ready to play tonight, right out of the gate. And my main motivation, if I were a player or a coach, would be just, I know it's Skinner's first game back in Carolina, Marty. I see you looking at me. But I'm doing everything in my power to win this game so that that stupid post-game ceremony that Carolina does after the game.
Marty likes it.
I like it.
I like that they're trying to be innovative.
Are you trying to be me right now?
I think they're trying to be innovative and exciting and bring fans to the game. No, you don't. But you know what? I like to assign a voice to everybody when it comes, you know, just an appropriate voice. How are you today,
like
Mark?
Family Guy style?
You know what? Is there more of a genius than that guy?
I don't watch Family Guy.
You're missing out. I'll tell you that right now. But anyway, so that's my main motivation. If you need a reason to play tonight, then you probably shouldn't be throwing on the gear. With the standings and Jeff Skinner's return and
money on the board.
Well, we're not allowed to put money on the board anymore, right?
Yeah, you are.
Are you?
It's a massive game.
The team's not allowed to put money on the board. The players can do whatever they want.
Oh, okay.
Skinsey's going to have some cake up there, and it's not just going to be a few hundred bones. This is going to be team dinner. I guarantee it.
Riv threw a team dinner on the board.
Yeah, I regret that.
Because nobody wants a team dinner.
Yeah, they do.
They want cold cash
on
the board.
Oh, no. You're in New York City, Marty.
No. You put money for the game-winning goal. Team money. Game-winning goal gets money.
No.
Then you give money to the trainers. No. You put all of that out there.
Could be the stupidest thing I've ever heard. When you're putting up an individual thing, whoever scores the game winner, I'm going to give $500 to or something. No,
when we played against Montreal the first time, Riv's return,
I'm not saying that's the only thing that's on the board.
Did you go back to Montreal for that game, or did they come to us and then we went to Manhattan? Either way, I think we were on the road. So Riv throws up on the board. This was unreal. Okay.
Yeah, I regret it.
Riv throws on the board. Team dinner in New York
if we win against Montreal.
Thing.
It's not like it could cost you 12
I'm not
grand.
Done. I'm not done. Oh, that's exactly what I think happened. I mean, when old man River threw team dinner, and I remember what I wore that night, Riv. I remember what I wore to the team dinner in New York. You took us to this sweet restaurant. I mean, this place was top notch. Everything was white in there, like curtains and chairs. And I just remember the filet came out, and it was like $200 for a nice filet mignon.
As soon as we walked into the place, I just immediately regretted putting the team dinner on the board. And
that's why you don't put team dinner, because you're almost hoping you lose.
The bill was so bad. The guys felt so bad about Riv's bill. They're like, do you want us to pay the tip? They wanted to chip in for the tip.
That's going to make a difference.
Yeah, the tip was still a couple grand. I mean, anyway.
By the way, I didn't thank you. I meant to say thank you very much. That was a wonderful – I had a wonderful night that night.
I do not regret doing that whatsoever. It was an awesome time. I think we all had a blast. Oh. And you know what? I mean –
that's funny.
But it took the team to a different level that night. It did. I don't care what anybody said. Any little fun
I don't know about the
added.
Rest of the season, but that night we were on fire.
Yeah, and you were playing, what, the Canadians here? Is that?
No, I think we were in Montreal.
In Montreal?
No, we were in Montreal. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Well, there's a difference, too. Playing the team that you were just on at home, like for Jeff Skinner, playing them in Buffalo first or playing them in Carolina first, I think it's more... I don't want to call it important, but it has more of a meaning to play on the road, to play in Carolina, to play that first game there.
Yep.
My first game back against the Sabres when I was traded to Philly was in Philadelphia at the end of the season. And then I didn't play the Sabres until the next season here in Buffalo. Not that it took a little something away from it, but playing the first time back against your former team in the building where you used to be, walking into the arena that morning, seeing all the workers there. Oh, I got to make a left here, because for many, many years I made a right down this tunnel to go to the home locker room. Now you got to go to the visitor's locker room. It's a very, very special feeling.
It's got to be weird, too. Like, dressing in the other locker. Well, I mean, I did. I didn't play in the game, but I mean, coming back to your rink and you dress in the visiting locker room, I mean, it's going to be weird for Jeff Skinner. It has to be. It has to be weird for guys, especially a guy that, I mean, I read a little bit of what John Vogel wrote about Skinner's time in Carolina. The guy was like a young legend.
He was like a rock star.
He was like one of those teen bands or whatever, NSYNC or something.
Everybody was, though, like in a boy Carolina. Band. Like, remember Bates Battaglia? He was a rock star in with the Hurricanes. I mean, Stahl,
Lucky Bees,
Cam
Lucky
Ward,
13s.
Lucky Bees.
He had his own bar.
He had
that
his
guy.
Own bar. But everybody that had some success in Carolina, because the fan base over there is a very specific fan base. You know, hockey wise, they have college football, college basketball. They have everything in Carolina that's different. But hockey wise, the fan base is special. And when they love you and you've done something good for them, you are an absolute rock star.
But there's also, I think, two ways of looking at this. There's, I feel that there's two ways that you understand that you did something special and made a mark on a city. There's two ways of them showing you appreciation. What's the first one?
Well, cheer or boo.
So cheer is going to happen to Jeff Skinner. He's going to go back, most likely have a little video clip of his time
standing
there.
Standing ovation.
Absolutely deserves it. And then you can be a player that played for the Montreal Canadiens, and they can boo you for the entire game every time you touch the puck. And that, again, I take that, and that happened to me. I went back to Montreal. It was amazing seeing all the media members. You just don't realize, you know, how big hockey is until you leave that city, because I only grew up in that city. I was drafted by Montreal, ended up playing 13 years in Montreal before I got traded. And when I went back, I never realized how big of a following it is in Montreal, the media members. And when they had talked to me, it was great to talk to them. But when I started that game, it was amazing. Those fans certainly remembered me. And every single time I touched the puck, for the entire game, I was booed. And I take that as a major compliment because, you know, I played many years there, put a lot of time and effort, and, you know, I went in a different direction, got traded. But
well, that was San Jose?
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. All right.
Well, yeah,
were you
cool.
surprised that they remembered you or put so much emphasis on your return?
No, you know, like, I mean, I played over 650 games in a Montreal uniform. Played there a long time. You know, I knew they were going to remember me, obviously. I played a long time there, and they showed me their appreciation every time I touched the puck, and that's just the culture in Montreal. They do it to many.
It's not
many
just Montreal.
Like,
when John Tavares goes back to Long Island and he touches a puck, he's getting booed. He's not getting cheered. He's getting booed because it also puts the whole story out. Did it end? How?
Yep.
You know. So for you, it's different, but for Jeff Skinner in Carolina, it's not like he said, "Get me out of here. I'm a free agent." Whatever. He was traded out. And I think the people in Carolina can really appreciate that they helped this young man grow to what he is now. He was 18 years old when he first went to Raleigh to be playing with the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, that is a community that feels like they helped the person grow. It's like Jason Pominville coming back here with the Minnesota Wild. They're not going to boo Jason Pominville. They're like, hey, we saw this guy grow up in Buffalo. He was such a part of our team. He went to Minnesota. You know, and that's the way it goes. But Palmer,
I've heard
great,
some
right?
guys get booed when they came back to Buffalo. There have been some. It's been awesome. And you're sitting on the bench, and you're like, "This is amazing." You never would have thought. JP Dumont got an amazing reception when he came
again,
back.
Again, JP, you're that type of player where,
but also left on different terms.
He wasn't the one that wanted to leave.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You know, like Palmer wasn't the one that
And that's
to
what it comes down to that too, doesn't it? I mean, like, I feel like a lot of times a fan's, you know, reaction to a player coming back does come back to circle back to how they left if they're
you
traded.
You know what's amazing too, like when we look at this, we're talking about Jeff Skinner. He had played how many years? 8 years in Carolina. His rookie season, he played full 82 games, 31 goals, 63 points. He had a fantastic year, and he had
youngest
a really,
ever
really nice.
Game.
He had a really nice career in Carolina, and to show to give you perspective of what the Buffalo Sabres fan base has seen from Jeff Skinner to what the Carolina Hurricanes remember Jeff Skinner as. Last year, Jeff Skinner had 24 goals and 49 points and was minus 27. He gets traded to Buffalo. In 43 games, he has 29 goals, 42 points, and he's plus 15. We're talking two completely different seasons, even though, you know, last year's season for Jeff Skinner is still pretty impressive with 24 goals and 49 points. You get to see that Jeff Skinner has had the best year by far of his NHL career, 29 goals and 42 points. He's on pace for 80 points and, you know, upwards of 55 goals. I mean, it is absolutely insane what Jeff Skinner has done in a Sabres uniform. So, obviously, we're pleased to have him. It'll be interesting to see. I think he'll get a great reception in Carolina because there's no reason not to. And but I think to Jeff Skinner, it's going to be a very, very emotional game for him.
Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Revay, Friday means two things. Martin Biron is here, and 11:30, Darren Dreger will join us on, I think, FaceTime or Skype today. And so we look forward to that. Again, that's at 11:30 every Friday, Darren Dreger. Sabres pregame show tonight, game night at 7 p.m. on MSG. That's 30 minutes before the game, which means what?
That means the game's at 7:30.
There you go, Marty. You're picking up what I'm putting down here. Okay, so lines from practice yesterday. Reinhardt off top line. Skinner on top line. Marty, we heard your comments yesterday. Did you listen to the show yesterday, Marty?
A little bit.
A little bit? So did you hear us talk? We brought you up. We brought up. We actually played off your conversation with we didn't mock you or anything. We played off your conversation with Howard and Jeremy in the morning about ideas for lines when Jack comes back.
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay.
So now that you've seen what's happening, what are your thoughts on the line changes?
I was just going to write 15 as the center on the top line. That's like, whoops, his number's not 15 anymore. I can see why Phil Housley is going to keep Skinner and Eichel together and how he will try to develop a little bit of chemistry or depth scoring with Sam Reinhardt being on a line with Sherry and Sobolko, right? Is that the, yeah, that's the second line. So I can see why he's going to do that. I thought for maybe the first few games after Jack's return, you were going to reunite the top line because Tage Thompson has done really well. I think Tage Thompson can maybe create more offense on his own than Sam can. So I was a little surprised to see that Sam Reinhardt is the one that's going to be needed to create more on his own on a different line. But it's also a reward. It's a reward to Tage Thompson. When he was asked to step up, when things weren't going so well a month ago, maybe they did some internal meetings, maybe video, maybe they asked him to do certain things, and he's played really well over the last 8 to 10 games. So it's a bit of a reward. So I have no problem with the way Phil Housley has adjusted the lines in practice yesterday. Now we'll see if it still is the way that they're going to be tonight. Maybe he was just, you know, playing a little bit of a game here, but I would expect that those lines won't change, and we'll see Skinner, Eichel, and Thompson as their top line.
I'll tell you right now, if a young man does not know that he's giving a big opportunity right now to take advantage of it, Tage Thompson, you know, a player that started a little slow with the Sabres, you know, was in the rafters for a couple of those games, watching, learning, a lot of people wanting to send down Tage Thompson. But you know what? He has really, really developed nicely, and he's continuing to develop because he's a very young guy. But I'll tell you, his skill set is awesome. It's just absolutely awesome. And he's worked his way into this opportunity to play on the top line with Jack Eichel and Jeff Skinner. And I'll tell you, if you can take advantage of it, then, you know, we're strengthening that top line. And Sam Reinhardt is just so crafty. He makes players around him better. That's just what he does. He's Petey's talked about him for years with the hockey IQ and the ability to move the puck. And last game, you saw Sam Reinhardt.
Gretzky-like. Yes.
Absolutely.
Get on board.
Absolutely,
what are you looking at, Marty?
You know, setting up Sheary for a number of opportunities. And, you know, we hope that we can continue to try and get that that secondary punch.
Gretzky-like, Marty. You hear that?
Yeah.
Gretzky-like.
Okay. You guys are throwing some terms pretty loosely around.
Oh, he looked like he was in the Great One's office the other night, passing it out front to Sheary.
I have no problem with that. Now, the other thing that the balance of the lines, the way Phil Housley has the lines right now, about a month or two ago, we would have a very clear cut of who the fourth line was. And I don't mean it as a disrespect because the guys that were on the fourth line really played well. It was Gergensen, it was Larsson, and then it could be Remy Elie on that line. It could be Evan Rodriguez on that line. It could be Tage Thompson on that line. But that was your fourth line. Now, I'm having a hard time trying to find who on this group will play the less minutes in Carolina. You have, obviously, Sobotka, Sherry, and Reinhardt that are your secondary line. That's the second line. That's boom. Let's go right after Eichel's line. Let's keep it going. But you have Johan Larsson, who's played extremely well. Evan Rodriguez, who's played good, filling in for Jack at center, but also he can play the left side on that line.
He's the utility player. Left, right, center, doesn't
Absolutely.
Matter where he's
play
got
D, it. He'll yep. play power play, he'll kill penalties, he'll play everywhere. Oposo can get himself going, and you look at him on the right side with Larsson and Rodriguez, two guys that are going to work. It's going to be a working line. It's going to be a line that's going to need to get some forecheck and creating.
Little pump for Oposo. I thought he was absolutely sick last game. Made some really nice plays, yeah. worked his butt off, and I thought he was really, really good.
And Gergensen, for me, Gergensen's been great all season.
Yep.
Middle stats shown some little bit of flashes last game, and he obviously scored a goal, but even more than the goal. And with Pominville, so there is a better mix in the lines right now if everybody does what they're supposed to do.
I agree.
Now, there's guys that may not perform as well as you expect them to do, but if the expectations, just average expectations, are put over the players right now, I think this is a very good lineup. Looking at the second half of the season.
Yeah, yeah. And
I would change one thing, and this is just my opinion. I know that everybody's completely married to a Jack Eichel and a Jeff Skinner. They've been absolutely fantastic together, and I believe that next year and moving forward, that's a combination that will never probably come apart, because we'll have more depth because we are going to have our younger players work into yeah. bigger roles and be better players. I like the idea of taking a Jack Eichel and playing him with a Sheary and a Thompson, because Jack is going to make those two guys better no matter what. And then you have the pair, as I would call it, the two wingmen in Skinner and Reinhardt, who are mature players that have had outstanding season so far. If you can take a guy and put him in the middle, where it's Mittelstadt or Sobotka, now I'm going to tell you, now you have two lines that you have to watch, because in line number one, you have to watch Jack because he's the best player on the team by far, and he's going to make everybody better. But line two, you now have to watch a Sam Reinhardt / Skinner, mm-hmm. and that becomes very difficult. So now you're just really locking down one two lines instead of just one.
I'm just surprised to hear you say that.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like
Ribs is a coach. The wheels are always turning.
The wheels are always turning. And I obviously your thoughts are they're good thoughts. I just think that it's Skinner's return. You know, maybe if it were, do you think it maybe if it were any other game?
Petey, right now, I know what you're going to say. Yes, absolutely. I would keep Jack with Skinner in this game in particular. Because I think that it's a very important game for Jeff Skinner and what he's done. I think you want to represent him as great as you can, and I think Jeff Skinner is going to be firing like you wouldn't believe. It's a big game.
That's a good point.
But
Chris.
I would love to in the future see what Jack could do with maybe a Tage Thompson and a Sheary, where Sheary is a really, really great player. He's fast. He can make plays. But it seems like he's had a tough time gaining that confidence, scoring goals. And I think Jack Eichel, if anybody in this league, he's going to help a guy like Sheary and get some goals and some points for him. And then all of a sudden, Sheary feels a lot better about himself. And then you got a guy that's possibly could really take off. So I just, you know, it's interesting to see what's going to happen moving forward.
Connor Sherry's not a goal scorer. And I don't think we can
not
say that he is.
He's not a huge goal scorer, I mean, but he's a guy that scored 18 goals last year. The year before that, he scored 24. You know, he's kind of like a guy that's, you know, possibly can get you 20 goals a year.
I think Ronick summed him up perfectly on our line on our show the other day.
What is it?
Do you remember what he said about Sherry?
I don't.
Third liner, 15
yeah.
goals a year.
15, oh, yeah, 15, I heard him say that.
15 to 20 goals a year.
15 you know, to 20, because you guys said 25 to 35, and he was like, I'm more of a 15
and
to
I agree
20.
With JR.
And he's yeah. right. So Connor Sherry, to me, I don't know that I would say, okay, let's play Sherry with Eichel, because I don't think he'll ever be more than a 15 to 20 goal scorer, and that's great. And that's what you're getting. You know he's going to work hard. You know he'll be able
to.
He's
crazy speed, crazy forecheck, backcheck, actually defensively responsible. I mean, he's got a lot of very, very great things about his game, but we have to try and find scoring, and it can't just be coming from Jack's line with Sam Reinhart and Skinner. And, you know, the nine other forwards on our team were not producing in a
Austin
big way.
Austin has a good question here. What about C.J. Smith? He's not on one of those. He's not one of those 12.
C.J. Smith played well and skated well, but at the same time, you have your 12 players right here. You're going to probably have to make a transaction at some point when everybody's healthy, because you have eight defensemen also. You got to consider it. You got Beaulieu and Unwick. Nelson is on IR right now. You got Remy Elie. So, you know, one of those guys.
The reality
is
you don't
want to
do that, because this is not a short-term thing. This is a long-term thing. I think Jason Botterill looks at it as, we're not going to make a move to move out a player to bring in C.J. Smith, because now all of a sudden you're taking someone away from the minors, and you're taking away someone in the minors like C.J. Smith that's playing power play. He's playing penalty kill. He's playing, you know, 18, 20 minutes a night. He's developing down there, and he's going to get an opportunity, but he's going to get the opportunity when he literally takes a job.
They most likely will activate Jack Eichel from injured reserve today. So by activating Jack Eichel, you have 24 players on the roster. One of them has to be either put on injured reserve or be sent down or put on waivers. And that's probably why you don't have C.J. Smith. C.J. Smith played extremely well, and I really liked him, and I liked his speed and all of that. But you're not going to go waiver Remy Elie right now at this moment, unless you feel that that's something you want to do. But I don't think they'll do that. They'll just send C.J. Smith back to Rochester, and you're going to be back to your 23 players on the roster.
Instigators, Marty's here. Darren Dreger at 11:30. Craig Revay, Andrew Peters, WGR 550 and MSG. 7 o'clock pregame show with Marty and Duffer. Don't forget, Razor will be on with Shope and the Bulldog at 4 and puck drop at 7:30. Take the Skinner factor out of this, fellas. Take the return, all of it, the hype, the emotion out of it. This game in the standings is huge. Montreal got thumped last night by St. Louis, which is exactly what you said needed to happen. But if you look around the league last night, some things
beat the Rangers. Yeah. So now they get ahead of the Sabres and ahead of the Montreal Canadiens. So that was a big win for the New York Islanders, playing the New York Rangers. And the Islanders had one shot on goal in the third period. That was Josh Bailey's goal. The Rangers tied it to make it 3-3. Jesper Fast tied it halfway in the third period to make it 3-3. The Islanders had one shot on goal in the third period, was the Josh Bailey goal. So
I guess there's different ways of looking at it when we do the scoreboard watch. You have the Islanders who win that game, but it continues to push down the teams that are in the race for the wild card. Right now, you have the Islanders, the Sabres, the Canadiens, that are within 1 point of each other.
That's why last night's game was
the
huge.
The Hurricanes, the Panthers, and the Rangers, those are three teams that are really trying to make a push. And if you continue to push the Rangers down, Panthers lost a game last night. They are getting pushed down. This is a good thing for the Sabres, because the last 30-some games of the season are going to be a three-team race instead of being a five-team race for a wild card. And this game against the Hurricanes, you're looking at a 7-point differential between the Sabres and the Hurricanes. If they can win this game, it's the old cliche 4-point game, and now you're sitting 9 points ahead of them. This is a lot of points as you start to get further on in the season.
And if you lose, you're
5 points
back, and now Carolina's right in. They're in the mix.
That's right.
Like 9 points is a lot, but 5 is what?
I'm not really concerned with the Hurricanes, the Panthers,
I am. Should be.
Who's the other one there? Hurricanes,
Canadians.
Panthers, the Canadians. I am concerned, but the Rangers. I mean, those are the three. I'm not really concerned about it. The Hurricanes won 5 in a row, and they were up 1-0 halfway in the third period to the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. So they are a much better team.
Okay, so why are you not nervous of them?
Because I don't believe that what they on have been paper able to that do they have will enough. Sustain. Will be will keep up in the second half, and that's just my belief. I look at this as a three-team race: the Sabres, the Canadiens, and the New York Islanders. And so, when I see the Islanders beating the Rangers, I'm like, I would much rather have the Rangers beat the Islanders and not have that third team, that trio of teams. When the Canadiens lose, when the Islanders lose, that's what I look at right now. I'm not. Maybe that's just the way I look at it, but I'm not looking that far.
I think there's a lot of hockey left. And I think any time you can eliminate teams from the so-called race, I think that's what you want to do. If you can smother the Rangers' opportunity to get back into the wild card race or a Florida Panthers opportunity, that's exactly what you want to do.
I remember a few years ago, and I don't want to go over and talk about the West, but if you want to compare division or conferences and like how close it is, the West is very close.
The West is crazy.
The team that's in second last can still make the playoffs, and you know it seems like the East is starting to separate. Where I remember like a couple years ago, the West was set with like 25 games left, and now here in the East you have, you know, it's slowly starting to separate. You're gonna have teams now, you'll have four or five teams out probably by the just after the All-Star break, right? And you look over at the West, St. Louis wins last night, and they're still what, they're 4 points back with games in hand?
No, they are 8 points back with three games in hand.
Yeah,
so you're looking at, that's maybe 2 points back of the Anaheim Ducks. Yeah. If you win all three.
Yeah,
even the LA Kings, now listen, they are 9 points back. But still, with half the season to go, they're not in it, but they're a lot closer than some of the teams in the East.
Yeah, they also have a minus 34 differential. those are just signs that you're not going anywhere. Unfortunately, you know, you can sit there and have wishful thinking, but you know, there's a lot of teams in the West that aren't going anywhere. And as the season progresses, only time's going to tell. You're going to start to see, and it's going to be interesting. Where does LA go? Where does Chicago go? What does St. Louis do? What are these teams that have a pretty big payroll? When do they start to sell off some of their players and go in a different direction and start to say, you know what, this is something where we have to make changes? You know, you have a team like Detroit Red Wings. They're in the East. They're not doing very well. They're like, what, 1 point out of last place in the league? But they also have a very young hockey team. They're in a development mode. They understand that. Ottawa's in the same situation. Philadelphia is a team that has a lot of very youthful players. But there's going to be some teams out there I think are going to start to make some changes. LA could be one of them. St. Louis, Chicago. So it'll be interesting to see what these guys do.
PD, it's 6 points with two games in hand, St. Louis.
Okay.
This is my NHL.com.
So we're both wrong. That makes me feel better.
Sometimes has issues and wasn't loading properly.
Well, mine's not loading either. I go pull up the standings.
It says no standings available.
The only one that's able to get standings is Old Man Rivers. The only one that has internet
that's
today.
Probably all what right,
because I pay my bills.
Yeah, it's well. Is that here? You paying the internet bills here? You got some big quant,
man. There's a construction next door.
Are you on the construction company that's doing the work next door?
No, I pay a little extra to get that high speed internet thing.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All right.
Wireless.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the cord here too. Yeah. Right. So, all right. Well, when we come back, Instigators, as I mentioned, find out what are the final point projections for the Sabres, and to the point coming up next. Darren Dreger at 11:30 WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Can't do this like 10 seconds into it.
Welcome back. All I'm going to do Petey's job today. He likes to drop things on me about, I don't know, half a second before we get back here. So
you're better off the cuff. You're way better off the cuff.
I am not better off the cuff.
No,
you can't do
this.
You
see the amount of notes he writes down?
Because
he's
preparing myself, and then Petey drops this on me, and he's still drinking his Tim Hortons coffee there that he heats up seven times.
Who likes cold coffee? I've never understood this ice.
I'm just surprised that it takes so long for you to drink a medium coffee. It takes you literally 3 hours to do it.
I like to sip it. It's like a nice cognac to me. You know?
You like to burn your lips. That's why you have no lips.
Oh, anyway. I'm sorry. We can't all walk around with a fat bottom lip like you got over
fat
there.
Brad Pitt.
Fat lip Brad Pitt.
I don't even know what we're doing here, gentlemen. Wow, I mean, help me out here.
Okay. Instigators, yeah. Andrew Peters, Craig Gervais, Marty Biron. That's a hard thing to remember. WGR 550 and MSG. Another very, very difficult thing to remember. Craig Gervais, Marty Biron here. To the point, presented by Jim Steakhouse. I will say this quick morning skate update. Paul Hamilton tweeting out same lines and D pairings as yesterday. Before we get into To the Point, Marty, are we going to see Allmark tonight, you think?
I don't think so.
No?
I think this will be Hutton tonight and then Allmark tomorrow at home against the Tampa Bay Lightning. This is what my gut feeling would tell me.
Okay. All right. Well, that was easy. This is pretty easy. Let's go to the Point presented by Jim Steakhouse.
To the point.
Okay, Riv, you're going to go first because we know you're so prepared. Do you respect Marchand's decision to not fight Eller? If everyone goes back, they remember that the Stanley Cup champs, Boston got pounded 7-0.
7-0 the first game of the season. Then they came into Buffalo and beat the Sabres 4-0, but yeah.
So Marchand goes after Eller. Kind of dirty, jumped and whatever. But anyway, so Eller goes after him, and Marchand doesn't fight. Marchand's comments were, "I haven't looked at the stat sheet, but I really don't feel I need to try to prove anything." Marchand told the media in the locker room after the game, "Eller plays maybe 10 to 12 minutes a night. I'm playing 20. So, and 1-0 game and go on the power play, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So that's the way it is." So, to the point presented by Jim Steakout, do you respect Marchand's decision to not fight Eller? Riv, go ahead.
You're surprised by this, Marty.
Yes, very surprised.
Listen, I think Brad Marchand is a nasty little bugger. I think he's a rat. I've said this a million times, but I think he is an absolutely insanely good hockey player. Without question, one of the best on his team, highly needed. And he's very right. The game at the time was a 1-0 game. And you're going to pull Brad Marchand, possibly the best player on the ice, off for a fighting major? No, that's not what you do. Brad Marchand made the right decision. It was not the right time. He is right and correct in saying he's playing 20-plus minutes a night and Lars Eller is a third-line center, and he's playing 12. What do you think Lars Eller's trying to do? He's trying to get Brad Marchand off his game in the box, so therefore he doesn't have the opportunity to tie this game up.
Headmaster Petey, there's a time limit on those, and you are like completely.
You liked what I was
losing.
Saying, so you want to listen, Marty. Go ahead. No.
No, Marchand definitely should respond and stand up to Lars Eller. Listen, like Lars Eller celebrated in a 7-0 win. And Marchand went after him, and Lars Eller said, okay, I'll drop my gloves. Now he got sucker punched a little bit and got hit hard. So the next time they face off, Lars Eller says, let's go, Marchand. And Marchand like just says, no, I don't want to. I pick and choose my moment. I challenge you. You dance with me. No, I don't want to do it. I think it's brutal. And to back up Lars Eller, Lars Eller plays 16 minutes and 55 seconds
so 17
on
minutes.
Average, 17 minutes a night.
Yeah.
He's not a plugger. He has 20 points this year. Yep. So it's not like you have...
Ooh, Order of the Rings, he's got 20 points. That's
he
great.
Did order
yeah,
the
he
rings.
Did
he
Order the
cup.
Rings. He's got a big one.
This year.
Okay,
no,
might
I don't
have
care.
A good chance at it.
Brad Marchand, if you want to play that game, you have to stand up. If you were going to challenge somebody because he disrespected the game... And he wants to respect the game back to you. You have to stand up to it.
Take that.
The game was over. The game was already finished when Brad Marchand did what he had to do.
Yeah, so more to Lars Eller to say, I don't have to fight you at 7-0.
This game right here.
Look at the scoreboard.
Lars Eller turtled against Marchand in that fight, we would have absolutely scalded Lars Eller.
Yes.
And now we're allowing Marchand to get away with being the rat that he is. Like, he played that perfectly. Yes.
What are you saying? Lars Eller fought in the last fight with Marchand?
He at least dropped his glove.
Oh, well, the good thing
really
he did that.
He didn't really have a chance to get set, but he goes back. I give Eller all the credit in the world after getting thumped against Marchand last time to go after him and challenge him in this game.
Yep.
And you know what? Marchand owed him just out of code.
Code.
Oh, yeah, you're the first guy to speak about code, but then when code gets thrown in your face,
you know what?
You don't use
Brad Marchand is one of the best players in the National Hockey League. He doesn't have to fight Lars Eller.
I don't even think you believe what
1-0 game. Good one.
I honestly, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't want to fight at
1-0, that's fine. You're Lars Eller. You're Brad Marchand. You say, not right now. It's 1-0.
Okay. And I swear to God, when I say this, Brad Marchand will step up to the plate.
I don't even
and the
believe
next
what
game,
just
you just watch. Brad Marchand will step up to the plate in the next game, and he will fight Lars Eller.
You know why?
He'll jump
because
him.
He'll jump because he'll have been embarrassed.
Everybody's embarrassing. Exactly, Marty. You know what, Riv? I think you already lose to the point today. Are the Vegas Golden Knights better this year than last year? We're doing to the point presented by Jim Staker. Let's put Riv in a position to be wrong again. Go ahead.
I think they're continuing to get better. I think last year when we watched the Golden Knights, everybody was just so surprised. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe that the Golden Knights were this good. And it took 40, 50, 60 games last year until people actually started to believe that the players that were chosen for this team are the real deal. There are some great players that were picked up, camaraderie, that dressing room, and they had a great finish to their season. This year, I think they're even better than what they were last year. They have the goaltending, they have the defense, they have the forwards. They're playing well, great coaching. This is a real deal team.
I will agree. I think the Golden Knights are better. They had a tough start, and I think maybe that adversity made them better. But when you can send a player down, Brendan Perry is being sent down. He's got 7 goals and 4 assists, 11 points in 9 games with Golden Knights this year, and they're sending him down. Because, hey, you know what, we have a good team here, and you'll come back. You know, we'll bring you back when we
They did
when
send him down?
Yeah, he just got sent down again.
What, last night?
Yesterday, I believe, yeah. So, but they know they're going to call him back, like, later, after the trade deadline, probably, when you don't have any roster limitation, and they'll play him. So, I think they're more balanced. They're more experienced.
And
I think
are the Vegas Golden Knights better this year than last year, Riv?
He did. He answered.
Did you already go? Did you guys both went?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wakey, wakey.
I know. I seriously think I took NyQuil, not DayQuil. Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Rivet. I'm not kidding you. WGR 550.
Too bad it wasn't on TV, right?
Yeah. Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Rivet. Okay, so does Columbus need to trade at least one of Panarin or Bobrovsky? We're doing To the Point presented by Jim Stakeout. Riv, go ahead.
You know what? I for me personally, I think they need to do everything in their power. I don't know what that is, but they need to do everything that they can to try and sign a Panarin. And he is an elite game-breaking player. He's one of the top in the league. He is a player that every team needs in order to have success. Panarin is the man. He needs to be signed. They got to do what they have to do to sign him. Bobrovsky, I'd let him go. I would let him go because I wouldn't be paying a goaltender $7.5+ million to play for my hockey team, because I think that there are so many very, very good goaltenders out there that you can get one for a quarter of that price.
Yeah, the only problem is your backup, Korpisalo, has got an .891 save percentage. So even if Bobrovsky only has a .906, he's still the quality top-end goaltender that you want. You don't have depth at goaltending with the Columbus Blue Jackets. So I think they
can pluck someone in the unrestricted free agent
they
market.
They will
next
need
year,
to
say?
Trade one of them, yes. I don't know if it's your water or his water, PD, but I'm in the middle of talking here, and you're interrupting again.
I was just asking him.
They need to trade one of them, yes. And I think it seems more likely now that... I mean, Bobrovsky, what's happened in the last few days is puzzling
me. But I wouldn't.
They will trade one of them. And I tend to think it will be Panarin. I think it will be Panarin.
Trade them both.
Because
they're both
gone. They may be both gone, but I think Panarin wants to be out of Columbus. And that's not even about
the deadline.
Yeah, but they'll trade one.
Well, if you can't sign them. Here's the thing. If I was Columbus, I would not even be signing Bobrovsky. I would let him go. Because I am not signing a goaltender that's going to cost me $8 million a year. Look at what that's done for the Montreal Canadiens.
Why do you think Bobrovsky is going to be demanding $8 million a year?
Because he's already making $7.5 million. And he just won a Vezina how many years ago?
Last year.
Okay.
More likely than
not. Say more?
He's getting older. His
how
value
old is, he?
Is not.
How old is he?
I don't know.
30.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but that's 30, not old for a goaltender.
No,
that's when they start to come into their prime.
This is old school. If you sign, let's say he wants to sign a 6 or 7 year deal at 30. By year 3, by the time you're 33, you are down.
Oh, so
down.
You're saying Carter Hutton is a bag of bones right now because he's what, 30?
No, but at 3-point-something million.
Yeah, that's not the same thing.
He's playing great hockey.
Don't compare apples and oranges.
Marty, do you want me to go around the league? You think Hank at age 36 is, you know, a bag of bones? No, he's still playing.
That's not what I'm saying.
How about Marc-Andre Fleury? How about 30?
Let's spell out all the exception. Fleury is an exception. But
what about Luongo at 39? Is that an exception too?
Who the hell is Luongo?
Well,
I'm just joking. Change topics here.
You, PD,
don't need to change topics because right now we're talking
about Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky. It's easy.
It's
Let's
Robert
go.
Rovsky. I always thought his name was Bobrovsky when I first started hearing about him in Philadelphia. Listen. Last one here. More likely to get an offer sheet. These conversations, realistic or unrealistic, they're out there. And I know offer sheets don't happen, but you could really screw the Toronto Maple Leafs over. So more likely to get an offer sheet, Marner or Matthews? Marty, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go Mitch Marner. Why? Because I think anything that Auston Matthews would agree to sign with any other team. So a team comes in with an offer. I don't think Matthews just says, oh, thank you for this 4-year deal. He's going to say, no, give me a 7-year deal at $14 million, and then maybe we'll talk. And then he signs the offer sheet. And I think that with Matthews, the Leafs will match anything. With Marner, I don't think you're matching at $13 or $14 million. And I think that's why most likely would be Marner to get an offer sheet.
River, more likely to get an offer sheet.
Marner, just with what Marty said, Matthews is going to be, he's like a generational talent. He's one of the best players in the National Hockey League right now at the age of, 20 years old. He's going to be playing in this league for 15-plus more years at a super high rate. 6'3", 220 pounds. He's a goal scorer. He's a setup man. And he's only 20. Everybody needs to realize that this kid is still a kid. He has got a long way to go, and he is going to get even better. Matthews is going to be a super stud when it's all said and done.
All right, before we go to break here, I will just say 6 minutes ago, the Buffalo Buttes announced that Cody McCormick has been named general manager. Congratulations, Cody McCormick, friend of the show, friend of ours.
Coach and GM. Wow.
Cody McCormick. All right, when we come back here, Marty will come back with our dis or dat, and then we'll talk. At 11 o'clock, we'll talk realistic point projections for the Sabres going into the end of the season, the final stretch here, right here on the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
With a little wink at the end of the this or that animation here on MSG, this is the Instigator, also on WGR 550 with Andrew Peters and Craig Rivet. And we got a few this or that this morning, and let's start with the All-Star, because the All-Star jerseys were made public a few days ago. They're black and white, and they're made out of plastic recycled from the ocean. But somebody, and every time you have a jersey concept out there, there's always somebody that feels that they can do it better.
Okay.
So there is a concept out there that has, you know, still with the black and white theme to it, a little teal because it's San Jose, but with the logo actually in color. So I'm asking you this, this or that actually. Do you like the black and white All-Star jerseys that they are right now, or do you want to see the updated version maybe that somebody came up with and put a little color
Wait,
to it?
Wait, so just so I'm clear, because I'm kind of out of the loop here, are they the All-Star jerseys going to have the team's logos?
So yeah, so you have your own logo on the front
awesome.
Of it. So yeah, like Jack Eichel will have the black and white jersey that everybody will have, but with the Sabres logo in the front of him. So I was
and
talking
it's
about
all made, that's a good move.
It's all
made.
Like plastic recycled fabrics and
okay,
all that.
So the new jerseys, the so-called the ones that are black and white, yep. But you're going to have a colored...
Well, you're not. That would be... That's a prototype. Somebody on Twitter just made those up and says, I like mine way better, and he had the color. So I'm asking you this or that. Do you like the black or white, or do you want a little splash of color on it?
Color.
A little splash of color.
I would like them to be black and white to stay with the identity of what they're trying to do, but each logo from each team will be in color. I think that would be really super sharp.
Or maybe we just maybe we'll retweet it for people to see it. But yeah, Petey, a little color, or do you like the black and white?
Black and white works for me.
Yeah, you know what?
I think it's cool.
I think the color was a good addition to it, but I am not opposed to this. I think make something different out of the All-Star game, and the jerseys with the logos I think are pretty cool. But anyway.
I think they should air the game in black and white too.
That would be
actually, air the game in black and white, but the jerseys in color.
It's already a snooze fest. Are you kidding me? You're going to play the game in black and white? Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay, enough All-Star talk. It's not for another couple of weeks anyway. Okay, John Tortorella won his 600th NHL win last night, became the first U.S.-born coach to get to 600. There was a bit of a race, though, the last few days. It was Tortorella and Peter Laviolette trying to get to 600 first. So I'm asking you, who's the better coach, John Tortorella or Peter Laviolette? This or that? No, don't take your time, boys. We have all day for
that. Why are you going? Laviolette.
Okay.
I like Laviolette. I just like him. I think I'm not saying I don't like Torts. I like Laviolette's demeanor.
Which is what?
Calming. Is he not?
He is not calm.
Well, in the media and stuff, he seems like he's
kind of... He is absolutely the furthest thing from being
is
calm.
Is he really?
He is a lunatic.
Well, I don't know him as a coach.
I don't know him as a coach. Is the milder of the two.
Yes, absolutely.
Get out of here, really?
No question.
Wow, I would have thought that just by talking to them and
I don't think hearing them... I don't think he draws attention to them. That's probably why you're saying that. But Peter Laviolette is a very, very fiery coach.
Well, but I always see Torts is on the bench
that's
losing his
Torts,
marbles.
Torts wants it. Yeah. He wants the attention.
Okay, so who's the better coach? It doesn't matter what their personality
is. Neither of them.
Okay. That's not an
option.
To
be honest with you,
I
wouldn't be able to say one or the other. I think both are fantastic. I think they're both fantastic coaches in their own right. They demand, you know, respect, and they get the most out of their players.
Look at this guy.
I think it's great. I think it's absolutely. I think they're both fantastic.
I can't vote because I had Torts as a coach, and
I absolutely loved them. I would love to play for Tortorella.
I love Torts, and so I can't speak as to Peter Laviolette, but I'll tell you this: I think Torts is a fiery guy, but I think Laviolette behind closed door. Is gotta be so hard to handle. Oh, yeah. That's
really?
My thing. Yes.
Wow, I learned something new today.
Yep.
Okay, last one here. Australian Open is starting, PD, tennis,
yes,
down
sir.
Under. On a collision course to get to the final is Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. They are both in the bottom portion of the men's draw this year. They could meet in the semifinals. So I'm asking you, who has the better chance to get to the final? Nadal or Federer? This or that?
Is Nadal healthy?
Nadal is always hurt.
He's always hurt, right?
Yeah.
He's always got the groins or the hamstrings or something
he's
going.
He's so massive and strong, but
he's never healthy enough to play. Federer.
I
have to say Federer. He's my favorite athlete of all time.
Yeah.
In any sport, anything, Roger Federer. So I'll never – I think he's – I don't know. He's
Nadal's
the
ranked
of all
two.
Time.
Seeded two and Federer seeded – third, so
I'll take Rips, Federer all day.
Federer or Nadal?
I'm going to answer this the same as I did last one.
I know exactly. What
I would personally rather watch ping pong because I think that racket is more fun than watching tennis. So I'm going to go with.
So you'd rather watch table tennis than tennis?
Ying Pao from China is going to defeat.
There's nothing better when the Australian Open is on to get up in the morning and get the.
My God, it's
you know,
like
the
watching
afternoon matches.
It's like watching paint dry until you actually get to, I would say, the semifinals, final matches. The rest are complete.
Have you ever played tennis?
Yes, I have. It's actually very fun.
Forget about fun. Do you know how, these are the greatest athletes ever?
Super athletes.
Okay, I am going to say I want Federer to make it to the finals, but I think Nadal's got a better chance, and that is the end of this or that here because Rivs
is
party
pooper.
I'm
surprised no bachelor from you today. I guess there hasn't been a bachelor.
Yeah. It's Monday night.
Aren't they ranked number 2 and 3 in the world?
Yeah.
Who's the number one?
Novak Djokovic.
You'd like him. He's a great personality.
Where'd he come from? Like, has he been there for a while?
He's Czech. Croatian.
So I think
he's been around for a while, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Jovo Cup's been around. Anyway, this was this or that. We're going to take a short break when we come back. PD's update, Darren Dreger.
His name starts with a D.
We have two to point, I believe. So plenty in the second hour here on the Instigator WGR 550 and MSG.
Okay.
Wyatt over there.
Bitch.